Now, who likes spot the difference puzzles? Can you spot any differences on those there? Millions, all very keen. Yes, Abby Wu. Another what? You remember you got a shout at me?
Another half of the kind of shape things.
Yes, yes, there's an extra flower, is it, on the plant? Yes, brilliant. Yes, Shono?
There's one more banana on your right.
So there is, yes. Now, Jonathan Austin has been teaching by studying this at home. And he's got a pointer to play with. Yeah, go on then, Jonathan, show us one. Yeah? Okay, yeah. You children probably won't know what a floppy disk is, but in the olden days we used to have those. Yes, Joe? Yes. People are desperate, yeah? You could be here a long time.
The clocks are different.
They are, yes. Yes, the Clark family?
The hills are different.
Yes, they are, yes.
Pin in the top.
Oh yes, yes. The lady on the left has got a pin in her bun, hasn't she? Yes, Robert. Yes, it's holding a lolly and a spoon. Oh, it's got different whiskers too. Oh, have it? Okay, the whiskers are behind it. Okay, yes. Quite technical, Jennifer. Yes. The handles on the cupboards are different, so they are. Steve. Yeah. Okay, yes, absolutely, yes. Yes. Yeah, we've done the bananas, yep, Sue. So she has, cheeky girl. Right, okay, well, oh. Yes. Is it a lady, I think? Yeah, I think, probably. It might be a gentleman with a bun. It's sometimes hard to tell, isn't it? Robert, yeah.
We've got a volcano growing on the right, whereas the hill on the left-hand side in the middle.
Yes, the hills, yes, I think we've done those. Yeah, no. Yes, okay, let's have... Oh, yeah. Yeah, are you desperate to... Some of you got one? No? Matt? Yeah, you might have to be a little more specific, but it's almost certainly true. Well, that's spot the difference. The point of that is just to say that sometimes when we're reading the Bible, it's worth saying spot the difference. It's worth thinking about similarities and differences. When you read something, you might say, well, have I read something like that before? Does that remind me of something else? Or perhaps the writer has put two things next to each other that he wants us to compare. So I'm going to want us to compare our Old Testament reading and our New Testament reading a little bit. And we'll also see some contrasts in our New Testament reading. Some things that are similar but a bit different. And I'm hoping that we will learn from those. So let's have our Bible readings now, please. First of all, from Genesis. Very first book in the Bible, of course.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the sea, and the Spirit of God was pouring over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he kept separating the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day.
Thanks be to God. Thank you very much indeed, Melinda. And then let's have our second reading from Mark's Gospel. You might like to turn to this. We're going to concentrate on this passage. It's page 1002. And think about, is there anything a bit similar going on in this passage? Mark chapter 1, page 1102.
And so John came, baptizing in their religion, and preaching their baptism of repentance. For the forgiveness of sin. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, but they led a belt around his waist. the eight lotuses and one of the five. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I. The thongs of his sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased."
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Owen. Well, let's have the next slide up, please, Jonathan. Great. Now, I should say that the pictures here are all sort of made up. You know, nobody really knows what any of this looked like, so you may or may not find these pictures helpful. Take them with a pinch of salt. There's a variety of different ones, so that we don't, you know, necessarily think Jesus looks a particular way or whatever. But so that's just to say about the pictures, okay? So this is meant to remind us of the scene in the book of Genesis. Do you remember it? So the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. Who knows what that looks like? And God said, "Let there be light." Now, if you played Spot the Difference between that and our gospel reading, do you think you would notice something similar? Any boffins tell us how the gospel reading was a little bit similar to that? Yeah, Jono?
Yeah, but
slightly more specifically, Judith, are you feeling God's Spirit was there? Okay. Even more specifically than that, yeah?
God
is certainly there. God's always there, isn't he? But on the Spirit point, here we've got in Genesis, the Spirit of God hovering over the waters, and in our Gospel reading, Abby?
It was the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit in the form of a
dove.
So presumably he sort of hovered or flew or he came down on Jesus, didn't he? He was in the water, absolutely. So there's the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. And in the Old Testament reading, God said, "Let there be light." And in our New Testament reading,
God says, "This is my Son, I am very pleased with him."
Exactly. Again, God speaks from heaven, doesn't he? Okay, so the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters, and God speaks from heaven. Strikingly similar, isn't it? Let's have the next slide, you see. So there's Jesus being baptized, the Spirit of God hovering over the waters, and God speaks. So Mark has done this quite deliberately, I think. He wants us to think of the book of Genesis. In fact, he starts his gospel by saying, this is the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ. And the word Genesis means beginning. So he could have said, this is the Genesis of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, why is he doing this? Well, I think he wants us to see that Jesus is going to bring a new creation. Jesus is going to remake and transform the world. He's going to change everything. Because of Adam and Eve's sin and all the wrong things that human beings have done, God's judgment has come on the world. But Jesus is going to bring about a new creation. So he is, if you like, a new Adam. Or, do you remember the story of Noah? Now, in the story of Noah, there's lots of water, isn't there? Because there's a flood. Do you remember he sends out a dove? So again, you've got the dove and the water, and a fresh start for planet Earth after that flood. You could say, well, Jesus is a new Noah. Here's a fresh start. So this is an appropriate passage for us at the beginning of this new year, because it speaks about new beginnings and a fresh start. God is going to transform and renew the world. There's going to be a new creation through Jesus. But Jesus makes us new too when we trust in him. He changes on the inside. He gives us new life. Well, that's the first contrast. Let's have the next one up, please. Now, can you guess who this is meant to be on this slide here?
John
the Baptist, yes, absolutely. And in verse 6, gives us a kind of fashion guide, tells us what John the Baptist is wearing. Someone got their Bible open, want to read it out for us, Helen, can you shout the thing for us?
Yes. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist.
Thank you. He's got this animal skin clothing and a leather belt. You know, why does Mark bother to tell us this? Is it a fashion tip? Well, no. It's probably because of this second fella on the right. This is meant to be the prophet Elijah, one of the great, great prophets of the Old Testament. And in 2 Kings 1 verse 8, they're not sure who a certain fellow is. They say, oh, well, what was he like, this man? And they say, oh, he wore an animal skin and a leather belt around his waist. And they say, ah, that's Elijah's favourite outfit. It must have been Elijah. So Mark is saying, well, John the Baptist, he's like Elijah. And that fits in with the book of Malachi, where God said that before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, before the coming of God himself to his people, God would send Elijah before God came. So Mark is saying, well, John the Baptist, he's like Elijah. He's like that great prophet from the Old Testament. He's come to prepare for the coming of God himself. So this spot the difference between John the Baptist and Elijah is a way of saying, well, Jesus, the Lord, is coming. Let's move on to the next slide. And Jesus wants us to, Mark wants us to contrast John the Baptist there and Jesus, I think. Look at verse 7 if you've got your Bible open. And this was John the Baptist's message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. Now, undoing someone's shoes was the job of the lowliest servant. So John the Baptist is saying here, Jesus is so much more important than me. I just come to prepare the way and get ready for him. He's the one, the important one, the one you've been waiting for. Why? Well, because verse 8, there's also a contrast between our baptisms. Spot the difference between my baptism and his, John says. I baptize you with water. I just get you wet. But he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He'll make you clean on the inside. He'll give you a new heart. And then there's one last contrast I want us to notice in this passage. It's between Jesus and the crowd. Maybe we could say between Jesus and the whole world. Between Jesus and everyone else who's ever lived. Because if you look at verse 4, you'll see the purpose of John's baptism. And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So John said to them, well, you're God's people, but you've all done things wrong, you've all failed, you've all sinned. There are wrong things in your life that you need to turn away from, you need to repent and go the other way, change your mind and confess your sins. Say sorry to God, ask him to forgive you. And the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan. But then, contrast that with verse 11. Here's God's verdict on the Lord Jesus. You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. God is perfectly pleased with Jesus. Jesus alone, of all human beings, has never, ever, 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 ever done anything at all wrong. People were coming to John confessing their sins, but Jesus got nothing to confess. So why does he get baptized? Well, here is Jesus standing in the place of sinners, taking our place. And it's a pointer towards the death that Jesus would die. Next slide, please. Jesus' death is sometimes talked of as a baptism that he had to undergo. Jesus was innocent, never did anything wrong, and yet he stood in the place of all those who had put their trust in him so that we might be forgiven. That's the way in which God gives us new life and makes us clean, brings about that new creation in us, because Jesus has paid the price for our sin so that we might be forgiven. So today, this new year, God offers us a fresh start. We'll put our trust in Jesus afresh. He can baptize us with the Holy Spirit, give us a new, clean heart, so that God says to us, you are my child, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased.
Well, that's something to give God thanks for, isn't it? Let's pray together. Our Father God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God come in the flesh, your perfect Son, who never did anything wrong. Thank you that he died in our place so that we might be forgiven. Please make us new and give us new life by your Holy Spirit, that we might live for you, for your name's sake. Amen.